Scripture lesson for our meditation this evening is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Probably most of you have been to a large amusement park, and if you've ever had to wait in line at a ride, sometimes they actually design the lines in such a way that you feel like you're closer to the actual ride than you really are. I know at Disney World, I remember reading years ago that they had two full-time workers who did nothing but monitor their lines around the park and made sure to move and maneuver things so that people felt closer to the actual event that they were going to be part of. If they would take that same line of people and stretch it out in a long line, probably half the people wouldn't want to stand in it because it seemed too long. It's interesting how there's something in us that just does not like to wait. We are impatient people. I know I sure am. And we don't like, sometimes we can even walk away from something if it, no matter how good it is, even if it seems like we're going to have to wait too long. There's something in our human nature that kind of rebels against that, and you can see it in little children as well. The same human reaction can take place in us when it comes to our faith and when it comes to waiting for our Lord to return on the last day. And it's spiritually challenging for us to have to wait. We can find ourselves very easily distracted, for one thing. We can start to lose our purpose and our focus, if you will. Our enthusiasm for the anticipation that we have for the event can start to get kind of dim. And I know for myself, I can get kind of tired and lethargic. And the older I get in life, sometimes I can think that way a little too much, that it seems like it's taking a long time. St. Paul is writing in our text to the Roman Christians. He's not writing to unbelievers. He's addressing Christians. And these are people that have very clearly come to know the grace of God in Christ. They've come to have a firm faith in him as their Savior. The entire book of Romans is thought of as the queen of the epistles because it so beautifully lays out this wonderful teaching that we are declared innocent before God, not because of anything we've done, but totally because of the work of Christ. Through him, we have peace with God and the hope of everlasting life in heaven. And Paul is writing to this congregation that knew this very well, that had been instructed in this precious truth, reminding them of how great it was that they've been baptized into Christ, connected to his crucifixion on the cross, and at the same time to his wonderful resurrection from the dead. So like them, you and I have been blessed to grow up and know this wonderful Savior and everything that that means for us and for our future. And many of these people, some of them had been maybe newly converted to the Christian faith. Some of them may have had a chance to meet even the apostles themselves. It's possible some of them had even visibly seen the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. But isn't it interesting that St. Paul still needs to warn them, despite all of this newness and freshness of the Christian faith that they had been blessed with, he still needs to warn them that they need to shake off the slumber that can come over our souls and our hearts. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. And he's reminding them that the salvation we're waiting for is closer today than it was when we first were brought to faith in Christ. It reminds us that there are really two different forms of apostasy, which means falling away from the faith. One is the physical apostasy, where people just actually start to leave the church, and they just walk away from Christ. And we've maybe seen that in our congregations or in our families for a variety of reasons, that people will just abandon Christianity. They've just had enough with it. Maybe the pressure from the culture is too much. Maybe some incident has happened in their life, and they now have a good reason in their minds to just leave the church and walk away. But there's also an invisible form of apostasy that I think is probably more dangerous for all of us. And that is when we are just tempted in our hearts and minds to kind of gradually drift away from Christ. That's different than what Walther describes with that first group, what he calls sleeping Christians, who are merely Christians by habit, but now they've kind of fallen away. But the Holy Spirit here gets very specific. He says, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy." And first of all, notice how in touch Scripture always is with present modern day life. All of these issues and temptations are still around us today. The same issues that challenged first century Roman Christians are still present here today in our midst among us. And they're just as powerful a temptation on us today as they were to them back then. And we can be tempted to kind of treat the grace of God that we've been given and this precious faith we've been given and the things of God, we can be tempted to kind of treat them as if they're not so important. My dad always used the word to trifle with your faith, to kind of act like it's a little kid's thing that you don't need to really pay attention to anymore. And I know I can be tempted to often think, well, it's always going to be there. I can always come back to it. I can maybe let myself drift away now for a while, and I'll always find my way back. Someday, when I get to have white hair and I get older, then I can start to pay attention to it a little bit. How many on Judgment Day are going to whine to God, "I didn't know this was going to come so soon. I didn't know that you would expect me to be ready for this at that stage of my life." Years ago, when I was a kid, the Minnesota Vikings had a coach by the name of Bud Grant, and they used to play outdoors, and a lot of times it was in the deep, cold winter. And he decided that even though the other teams would be allowed to have heaters on their bench, he did not want heaters on his bench. He wanted his players to be kind of uncomfortable. And his reason was, he said, it would keep them more alert when they need to go back into the game. In earthly matters, people try various ways to keep themselves focused and to keep themselves prepared and ready for things. Sometimes people throw water on their face, or they might slap themselves to kind of wake themselves up a little bit. They might turn up the radio loud while they're driving a car. There are a lot of ways that we can try to sort of keep ourselves awake and ready for something. But for the believer in Christ, it comes down to a very simple thing that God the Holy Spirit works inside of us, and that is repentance. The entire life of a Christian is really a constant, continual conversion every day back to Christ. Yes, you were brought to faith and converted, maybe in your infant baptism, maybe later in life when you were brought to cherish Christ, and certainly that is your conversion. But Christianity is really a daily conversion back to Christ, constantly coming to Him again through repentance. And God would have us let His cleansing word go down inside of our hearts to identify our sinfulness and the various ways that we are tempted to wander from Christ, to let it go down into the recesses of our souls and down into our conscience. If you will, repentance that God works in us by His word is kind of the cold water that again wakes us up. It's really your path of readiness for staying ready for when Jesus chooses to come back. And when this takes place, we put on Christ, the Bible says. We get redressed in him every time this happens, in his perfect holiness and righteousness that we need to get into heaven. And in that clothing of Christ that God redresses us with, when we go through repentance and then appreciating his grace again, when that takes place, we are now shielded from all the judgment of God that could ever come upon us, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. An English hymn writer by the name of Edward Mote wrote these words, and we just sang them last week in chapel. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. The same Christ whom you are waiting for to return invites you to come and see him and find him by faith in his sacraments. When you hear his word, when you take the Lord's Supper, this is how he keeps you ready. On the great night of the Passover, the Israelites, the children of God, were waiting for that night to take place. It was a horrific, terrible event for the Egyptian neighbors around them. But the Israelites were ready, and they had their garments girded up, and they were ready to go. And for us, Judgment Day, whenever that should come in our lives, or afterwards, will be a joyful event, because the day is at hand that Paul is talking about, where we will be taken to the beautiful homes above. So let us all be ready for that day by faith in that wonderful Savior. Amen.
Abide with us and with your whole church. Abide with us in the end of the day, in the end of our life, and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity. Love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit.